Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Leading Edge Medicine, we're glad you're here. Hour number two is getting ready to start. My name is Lynette Morgan, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. Dr. Umeb has the weekend off. Not really off, though. She's been working, but in Miami.
Yep.
And we're glad to be here.
She's off in meetings 8 or 9 hours a day.
Oh, boy.
And then if she's doing what I want her to do,
yes,
she's buttonholing research people in the evenings.
So. Oh, man. So she is busy with lots of information. We'll chat with her next week.
Right.
Okay, so you were going to talk about senescent cells.
Yeah. Well, you know, every cell in your body is designed to do its job for a specified period of time, and then it's supposed to wear out, essentially commit suicide. It's called autophagocytic process. Mm-hmm. It breaks down, and the components are then recycled to make new cells. And so different cells in different areas have different survival lengths. Your skin generally will last 2 to 3 weeks in any given area. Some areas are thicker and slower than others. Others have faster turnover. But every 2 to 3 weeks, you kind of get a new set of skin. Your bones, you replace about 10% per year. So about every 10 years, you have a whole new skeleton. Muscle lasts 3 to 4 months on average, and once more, it depends on how healthy and active you are, but each muscle fiber, each muscle cell only lives a certain discrete period of time. The lining of your gut, about 30 hours. So you turn that over about every day and a half.
Wow.
In fact, what most people don't realize, the bulk of what is in your stool is not food. It's the lining of your gut, the old cells sloughing off and being eliminated. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Your brain cells last for years, but they do turn over. They have to be repaired. Nothing is immortal in human beings. And so the problem is some small number of cells reach the end of their lifespan, and instead of undergoing autophagy, that is breaking down and being replaced, they undergo a morphologic change. They become senile. Mm-hmm. We call this a senescent cell.
Are these the zombie cells?
These are the living dead zombie cells we refer to.
Okay.
These cells have undergone a change. The mitochondria changes. The shape of the cell changes. And the chemicals produced by that cell and released into the environment now change to anti-growth, anti-healing, anti-repair. Mm. And so if those cells were to put out the normal cells products, they would die and be replaced. So instead, they put out anti-growth. Don't grow, don't heal, don't repair. Those chemicals are not maintained in the cell. They're released into the cellular environment around it, and they impact the health and activity of other cells. They actually trigger other cells to become senescent in turn. And even the healthy cells that don't undergo change to become senescent, they are inhibited from growing. And so everything slows down. Mm. One active senescent cell can inhibit 12 to 15,000 healthy cells from doing their job. Now, this happens in young people too, but in young people, those senescent cells are rapidly recognized by your immune system and are destroyed. They last on average less than a day and a half. So they never build up. They happen, they die. They're killed and replaced. As we age, we make more and more senescent cells. We are older. Our stem cells are not as active. We don't have as many stem cells. And the senescent cell load starts to rise. The other problem is our immune system is less and less good at killing them. Mm. And so each senescent cell, instead of being gone in less than a day, will be still there two and a half weeks later.
Oh, wow.
And so the number of senescent cells in our bodies rises with age normally. That then fixes it so we don't heal as well. So when you get cut, when you get injured, when you have even a bruise or a bump, the repair slows way, way down.
That's why it takes longer.
That's part of why it takes longer. And at some point, your senescent cell load gets so high that sarcopenia becomes the predominant function. You're just kind of wasting away. The muscle, the bone, the liver, the kidney, the brain, the heart are all getting weaker and weaker and weaker over time. And that leads to nursing homes and a rather unpleasant wasting death.
Oh.
That's not what we're after. Okay. So we treat the senescent cells. We basically swiped a protocol from Mayo Clinic, from their research people, and are using it with our patients with really nice results. In that 9 days of therapy, 3 days each week for 3 weeks, we can knock your senescent cell load down by about 70%.
Wow.
And that then reallows your healthy cells to start growing and repairing and developing. So it's a two-pronged attack. A, we want to give you back the anabolic hormone load that you had when you were younger. Anabolic hormones, by definition, are the hormones that allow you to make lean tissue. And then we want to get rid of that senescent cell load, or at least decrease the senescent cell load to where it used to be when you were younger, so that you can heal and repair and grow new tissue more effectively. Either one has a beneficial effect. The two together are a great 1-2 punch.
Okay. All right.
And then for people that want to do everything,
yes,
like me,
yes,
we have one more step up where we can actually take messenger RNA from the acellular vesicles and exosomes harvested from the growth tissues from placentas and umbilical cords, and provide that intravenously. And that basically, you're sending messenger RNA into your body that says, hey, you're only a newborn. Grow, heal, repair.
Oh.
Get up there. Get yourself into a big, strong, healthy adult one of these days. And it can help reprogram your cells in a very, very beneficial way.
Oh.
But that step is pricey. The senescent cell therapy is cheap.
Okay.
That's a few hundred dollars.
And our longevity patients have that access.
Oh, they've had that for years.
For years, yeah. Yes.
So our longevity patients, if they want senescent cell therapy, that's readily available to them. And we don't offer it to people outside the clinic.
Okay.
It's only for our patients, because our patients get carefully monitored and watched. And so, you know, when you're doing cutting-edge things, you have to watch the people very carefully, because Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. There's adverse effects. They're always available. Your doctor's job is not to do things that have no risks. Those things don't exist. Your doctor's job is to give you as many benefits as possible, balanced against as few downsides as practical.
Uh-huh.
And there's always that tension, and that's why we test and test and test and monitor very carefully.
Very good. All right. Well, you know what? We have Phil on the line from Camano Island, and he has some questions about the stem cells. So go ahead, Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Good morning.
How can I help you today,
sir? Good morning, doctor.
Embryonic stem cells in America.
Right, so, I know that.
So yeah. that one is a non-starter. And, you know, embryonic stem cells, by definition, are stem cells from an embryo. You take a fertilized egg and it grows to the Morales stage, and then you basically, you know, kill it and swipe its stem cells. There are some ethical considerations, and so We have 6 embryonic stem cell lines in America that were approved by the FDA back in the late 1960s, early 70s. And that's all we are permitted by law to use in this country because people objected to killing embryos to help us old folk.
And, that's right. And that's so different than what you were talking about, the cells from the placenta.
Right. No.
So this, different. This is totally different thing.
No, this is a baby. They're going to throw the placenta away.
Right.
And so instead of throwing it away, we actually then can morselize it, chop it up into little tiny pieces, isolate the stem cells, let them grow in a broth. And then harvest the acellular vesicles from the broth. So it's no embryos damaged, no babies harmed.
There you go.
It's just we're taking something we'd otherwise throw away and using it for us old folks.
Okay, so if the embryonic stem cells are not available in the U.S.
That's right. But the two things that are, and this is what Dan Nelson does, he would go in and take stem cells out of your bone, out of your ileum, your pelvis, and aspirate those, spin them down, isolate the stem cells and the PRP, the platelet-rich plasma, inject those into the damaged areas of your shoulder, and basically it doesn't increase the total number of stem cells in your body. It just kind of reallocates them, takes them from a place where you have a lot, your bone marrow, and puts them where you don't have many, your shoulder. And that will help you to heal and repair. I had this procedure done last year. Last summer or last spring, I was in California with my wife and daughter. And like a dummy, I was walking across a parking garage while rebooting my phone and entering the code and not looking where I was walking.
Uh-oh.
And I tripped over a curb and fell on the concrete with all of my 200 pounds landing on my right shoulder.
Oh.
And I tore 3 ligaments in that shoulder.
And how is your phone, Dr. Mixon?
Oh, the phone is fine. I protected the phone, just not my shoulder.
And you were in pain.
Yes, I was. And they weren't, the ligaments were not ruptured completely. They were not torn all the way through, but they were partially torn. And I could not move my arm. I could not move my shoulder at all. That radiated up in my neck. Dan let that heal for about 2 months, a little longer than you've been. He then went in, took the stem cells out, put them into my shoulder, and it is perfectly normal. I can knock out 60 push-ups this morning like I always do.
Please try again.
I have no pain at all. And for some reason, my Siri on my phone is talking to me. I don't
know. You
know
what? I said the word your phone, so
that's probably what it did. Yeah.
We were talking about your phone. And now you're feeling so much better, right, Dr. Mixon?
Yep. And so, but it totally healed. I have no pain, no disability. It is absolutely great. So that's available. The in our patients, and it doesn't sound like you're one of our patients. So let me.
No.
If you were our patient, here's what we would do. Okay. First of all, we would put back the hormones that allow you to grow ligament and tendon and muscle and bone. Okay, the anabolic hormones are what you had as your youth, and that's part of why you healed so well when you were young. You've lost most of those by this point in your life. So we give those back to you. Then we get rid of 70% of those senescent cells that I just finished talking about that are inhibiting your healing and growth. This is the other part of why you're not healing that shoulder well. Then I'd have Dan put the stem cells in. Okay. And we found that works really, really well. People get great results.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there is one other option that we can't do in America, but I know a fellow down in Panama.
Oh, yes.
Neil Reardon.
Yes, I've read about Panama. Yeah.
Yes. Neil is he's actually a PhD, not an MD, although he has a lot of MDs who work with and for him. And what they do is actually grow stem cells in the laboratory and then infuse them intravenously. And they can do things there we can't do in the United States. The downside is it's about $30,000 a pop instead of $6,000. With Neil, and, or with Dan. So 6,000 with Dan, 30,000 with Neil. And it takes a week of your life and a trip to Panama. So I stick with Dan. He's available. He does good work. Now, there are people that use fat cells, adipose stem cells, which is another option. Dan has opted to use the bone marrow stem cells because he thinks he gets better results. But I know an orthopedist over in Seattle who uses adipose tissue because the fat on your belly is the only tissue in your body that actually makes more stem cells instead of less as you get older. That's kind of odd. But it's a more complex, expensive process to isolate those stem cells than it is from your bone marrow. So, cost and simplicity.
There you go.
Okay.
All right,
is
Phil.
Bone marrow therapy a one-day deal?
Yep. In fact, it is. He aspirates your bone marrow. That takes maybe 5 minutes. Then it takes about 20 minutes to spin it and prep it. And then it takes him another 5 or 10 minutes to inject them. Fast and easy.
There you go.
That sounds like it. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you for your great question, Phil. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine live in the studio every Saturday morning with Dr. Jerry Mixon. And we welcome your phone calls. We'd love to talk with you. Phone lines are open at 800-465-8770. We are going to talk about pain in just a moment. Suzanne, your call is next. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter.
Papaya, papaya.
And make believe it came from you.
Papaya, papaya.
I'm gonna write words so, so sweet. They're gonna knock me off of my feet.
We're back.
We are indeed.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now let's talk to somebody about leg pain,
Let's do it. This is Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We have Suzanne from Redmond on the phone. Thank you for calling, Suzanne.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi there. I know from listening to you, you seem to like gnarly problems. So,
yes.
My dear, I have not heard the word gnarly in a long time. Yeah, that's a old surfer term.
There you go.
Thank you. Remind me, now, Suzanne, which was, by the way, my eighth grade girlfriend.
Oh, I love that
and
name.
We spent a lot of time surfing, and we heard gnarly a lot.
Oh, gnarly, man.
Okay. Now that you brought me back to my adolescence, young lady, what are we going to do about your leg?
Maybe I picked that up when I lived a few years in Southern California where people do surf. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Well, that's where I was, Long Beach, California.
That's where my family was, California.
We go down to Seal Beach and Huntington Beach. And in those days, of course, it was not multi-million dollar mansions lining the waterfront. We could just start a bonfire and surf until the middle of the night, and yeah, had a wonderful time. So,
it was a long, long time ago when I lived down there too. I'm about your age, so it's different, you know.
Yes, it is.
I have this pain, and my underlying health is like perfect. I don't take any pharmaceuticals. I have no diseases.
Good.
But in the last maybe couple of weeks or something, I've gotten this pain in my left hip, and I I haven't fallen or done damage to it or anything. It just appeared and it won't leave, and it seems to locate mostly on the back side of my hip, about halfway from my waistline, about halfway down from my waistline, and about halfway above the bottom of the buttocks. And that seems to be where it's kind of centered, but it keeps moving around.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be there most of the time, but then sometime it'll move over there to my left, the side of my left leg, and it may move down to where the leg is connected to the torso. And that, when I walk with that, it's pain. Well, it's always painful, but that's nasty. Or it'll move on down and be like next to my knee. It won't be in my knee, but it'll be next to it, and they move down by the mm-hmm. ankle. Sometimes it moves above the waist, but it's very painful to walk on it, and I haven't done anything to,
okay.
you know, cause
did it come on suddenly,
occur.
Or did it kind of slowly creep up on you over time?
No, it came on fairly quickly. I mean, it's like I didn't have it, and then I did have it, and then I had
okay.
it. No, more, but it's quite painful to walk on.
Yes. Oh, I understand. Okay. Once more, recognizing that for me to diagnose you, I'm the guy on the radio, okay? I'm not your doctor.
I understand that.
And, you know,
to get
a decent diagnosis, I'd want to get some imaging, some blood work, and a physical exam. But let me kind of give you what a half-vast guesstimate would be, is that I'm going to guess that you probably got a bursitis developing in that hip. Just because
I've
it came
heard
on.
The term. What is
well,
it?
the hip joint is surrounded by a membrane that then contains the fluid that lubricates the joint, that allows the joint to move smoothly without excessive wear and tear. Okay, and that is called
where
the bursa. That's called the bursa. And this bursa.
Yep. Where this is located doesn't seem to be in the joint.
Well, I understand. But the pain from a bursitis will frequently radiate into the buttock. You feel it posterior quite often. So, and so whenever somebody tells me they have a sudden onset of a hip area pain that's mostly posterior, mostly behind them, the first thing that I wonder about is whether or not they've developed a bursitis, an inflammatory process in that bursa. Okay.
What brings that on?
Age and bad luck.
Oh,
can I tell you? This getting old is not for sissies, as George Burns was famous for telling
That's
us.
That's right.
You know.
I love George Burns, so yes, I appreciate
Me too.
That.
That's right. So anyway, when I had mine, Dan Nelson put some PRP in there, took platelet-rich plasma and injected some platelet-rich plasma into there along with a little bit of a short-acting corticosteroid. The cortisone damped down the inflammation almost instantly, and the PRP helped to heal it more rapidly. And so that's my number one guess. Okay. Now, when you're talking about going down your legs and so on, then I have to say, well, gee, that sounds like we may also have some nerve inflammation. Are those nerves inflamed because they're going across that inflamed bursa, or is this pain coming out of your lower back, out of the lower lumbar upper sacral region? Well, that's possible too, I guess. So you need somebody that can do a good physical exam. You know, they can push and thump and stretch and twist and bend you so that they see exactly what's eliciting the pain and where the focus tends to be. And then they may want to do some imaging studies looking at your lower back and your pelvis, your hips. And then perhaps even follow that up with a simple blood test or two. So you need to get into somebody like Dr. Nelson or a good orthopedist, somebody that can do a decent evaluation on you. But this should be a fixable problem. It should not take a lot of time and effort to make you feel better.
Okay, now temporarily then, I'm out of work right now, so I can't do that. But I was thinking about temporarily, your relief factor thing?
Relief factor decreases inflammation. If you've got this sort of acute process, and you know, you're probably going to need to raise the dose higher than we normally would. What I normally tell people is three packets a day till the pain goes away, and then damp it down to two, and then you can try cutting down to one even. You know, the least amount that'll do the job is the right amount. when I have an acute flare, I will even go to 4 packets a day for a few days, you know, 3 or 4 days to get things started. The reason I don't like to see people use 4 a day for very long is that really high dose of the omega-3s can raise your triglyceride levels. And most older people have more than enough triglycerides already. We don't want to increase your cardiovascular risk. So, but
well, that's interesting because I can't afford my supplements right now. But normally I take about 3,000, you know, units of
Well, 3,000 milligrams of omega-3. Yeah, 3,000 milligrams of omega-3 a day is about the upper safe limit. When you get up to 4 is when you start getting the problem with increased triglycerides.
I see. But say if you took that for like maybe not more than a week and then went down to the 3.
And that's what I do when I get, you know, when I do something foolish, and I do foolish things frequently because I lead a very, very active life.
You are so active, yes. Like walking in a parking lot and tripping
on
a curb.
Not looking at where I'm walking, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, my wife knows who she's married to, and she's always trying to get me to slow down and say, you're not supposed to jump like a 15-year-old, damn it. But when I do and I hurt myself, I will increase to 4 for a few days, usually only 3 or 4 days. And then I cut it down to 3 for a while. And then, you know, my standard is 1 twice a day, 1 packet twice a day. It's what I usually do. But, you know, when I stir up a lot of pain, then I got to do something about it. That's just all, you know, I don't mind my triglycerides going up for 3 or 4 days if it gets me out of pain. So.
Yeah, no, I get that. Well, then I do not. I know you sell that, I guess, like on the internet, and I have neither internet nor credit cards. But I could drive over to your Kirkland clinic because I don't, you know, I don't live a long way from there.
And the
could
clinics,
I just get it there then?
Yes, sure. All the clinics carry it. It's just sitting in their storerooms because we have a lot of patients who just want to pick it up when they come in for their visits. So, yeah.
Okay, so I can probably go over there on Monday then and pick some of that up and see if that will kind of keep me going until I can get back to work again.
Yes, ma'am. Let's give it a hope.
There you go.
Okay, but listen, if you're up near my age, then you should be on Medicare already. And so getting a physician to take a look at you at, you know, minimal out-of-pocket costs should not be a big burden.
Well, I've gone almost entirely now to naturopathic rather than allopathic, but when I was on allopathic, I was at the UW, University of Washington place, and they won't touch you if you don't have supplemental a supplement to your Medicare.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think
they
Dan does. You might give Dan Nelson a call and see if he'll take a look.
Yes.
He's the one that helped me when I developed my little bursitis a while back.
There you go. Worth a call to Dr. Dan Nelson.
Oh, yes.
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 Suzanne, let me give you that phone number.
Just a minute. Let me grab a pen here and write that down.
Okay.
Just a minute.
Okay, you know, while you're grabbing that pin, did you get it?
Okay.
All right.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Here is that number for Dr. Dan Nelson. He's in at Pro Ortho. Give him a call Monday morning, 425-823-4000. Okay, 425-823-4000.
I got it. Okay, that's excellent.
You got it.
You guys have a wonderful day, and you guys have such a sunny disposition. That's
wonderful.
Okay, take care, my dear. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you so much for your call, Suzanne. Taking a quick break right here, then Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We'll be right back. And Tom, your question is next.
You got me running, going out of my mind.
Welcome back. Leading Edge Medicine here. I love that one. Don't Bring Me Down by ELO. You know, I was at a Journey concert just a week ago.
Oh, you were?
Oh, boy. Such a big fan. And we had the best seats, three rows up right from the stage. Oh, just the best. So we might have to slip in a little Don't Stop Believing every once in a while.
Okay.
I'll have to talk to a producer about that. Okay. We have another phone call. And if you'd like to get through to Dr. Mixon today, he is in the studio. We are live. Here's the number. And you two can call with your questions about a diagnosis, maybe some symptoms you're having, or maybe a procedure that you are going to have. Don't quite understand what all of is going to happen. Hey, we invite you to call 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. All right, headed to Centralia. Tom is on the line today. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lynette, I said, Lynette, did you ever see Journey when they had Steve Perry?
Oh, I love Steve Perry. Okay, so big Steve Perry fan, but I realize he's not available, not in the band anymore. And you know what? I have grown to love Arnell, the little guy from the Philippines that they got 15 years ago. And boy, does he bring it. He's got the energy. You know, the other guys in the band are like pushing 70 and 78, which is not old, is it, Dr. Mixon?
Old is 15 years older than me.
There you go.
Which is currently would be 90.
And Arnell is like a cross between, what did they say, Steve Perry and Bruce Lee, because he's doing all sorts of gymnastics and things in the air. So lots of fun, lots of energy. I can't wait to see him again. Yeah, big fan.
So okay, the reason I called is a couple weeks ago I called, and you probably don't remember, but anyway, I had just come down with COVID, and I said I felt like crap.
Oh, yes.
And so that basically, I asked Dr. Mixon his advice, and he said, well, you got to kind of tough it out, you know, when you feel like that. So I went on Dr. Google, and I came across something that I was already taking, but not in a regular amount. It's called N-acetylcysteine.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I did is instead of just taking 600 milligrams once a day, I increased my dosage to 1,200 milligrams twice a day. And I just did that for 2 days. And by that next day in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, I was fine. And so it was amazing because I went on to PubMed via the National Institute of Health here, and was reading about N-acetylcysteine, and it's pretty amazing what it does.
Yep, it's pretty much critical for life. Yes.
Well, the thing is that you don't hear about it, and I saw that the FDA is trying to take it off the market. So
yep.
They're saying that it's a medication. Well, it was a supplement, then it was a medication, then but they don't use it. And I'm not going to read this article or this letter, obviously. I don't have time to do that. But it's just amazing the things that it does, especially for seniors. And I'm surprised that I guess because of the fact that they can't make money off of it, that they don't utilize it.
Mm. Well, yeah, N-acetylcysteine, we by the way have a good supply in our office.
Oh, yes.
And we use it for most of our patients. So so it is one of our common prescriptions. And by the way, we prescribe supplements just like you would prescribe a medication. But yeah, the FDA has sent some warning letters to some of the manufacturers of N-acetylcysteine. N-acetylcysteine is the acetyl group is stripped off. The cysteine is used in glutathione metabolism in the liver. And the glutathione, in turn, is a very potent free radical scavenger and anti-inflammatory. So any inflammatory process tends to be decreased by the N-acetylcysteine by way of the glutathione pathway. So, yeah, we use it a lot. It was an inhaled drug at one time, and that's where things have gotten a little hairy with the NIH. It was used as a supplement, an oral supplement, for decades, and then it was used as an inhaler, as a prescription drug. And then they stopped making the prescription drug, I don't know, 30 years ago or something, and and people continued using the oral form of N-acetylcysteine for, well, 50, 60 years at least now. But last year, the branch of FDA that is involved with advertising standards sent a letter to some of the manufacturers saying, hey, you're advertising a prescription drug. Well, the prescription drug was an inhaled form of N-acetylcysteine, not the oral form.
Mm, okay.
And but a lot of the manufacturers, because the government can afford a lot more lawyers than any manufacturer can. You know, getting in a fight with the feds is going to cost you millions and millions and millions of dollars. And nobody is making, you know, $5, $10, $20 million a year off N-acetylcysteine because it's cheap, generic, over-the-counter, nothing. So the profit margin on a bottle is maybe $5. And are you going to get yourself in a $20 million fight with the feds over a $5 profit? No. You know? And so most people just stop making it. They just said, nope, it's not worth the bother. We're not making enough on it to make it worth the aggravation. And besides, we might spend $10 or $15 million in legal fees and then lose and end up with a $50 million fine. So as a simple business decision, most of them just said, no, we don't need the grief, and quit making it. And that's why it's hard to find right now.
Ah.
Well, the point for me is it worked in a day and a half. Get rid of my COVID symptoms, and that's unheard of. And that's the thing that kind of irks me about the fact that they don't advocate it. You know, I thought medicine was there to help people, but it's not. It's more to make money, to keep
it's
people
a profit.
Sick.
Yeah, it's a
and
business,
that's wrong.
And it's been well. It may be wrong, but it's a fact.
Yeah,
you know, no company is going to. Spend the company's money doing things that lose money. I mean, if you were the CEO of a company, would you say, hey, let's put out $150 million to try and get this through the FDA so that we can sell it for free? You know,
no, I mean the government
your board would
going
dump
after these people or not advocating. The government knows these things better than the, you know, these, because they have plenty of researchers and they know all this stuff, but they don't tell the people. And
no,
there's one other thing I want to just bring up real briefly that I noticed, too, is that vitamin D testing is not being paid for by the insurance companies anymore.
Why not?
Because they said there's no they don't think there's any efficacy to it. But the thing is that there's plenty of efficacy to it, and
sure
now they
is.
Don't want to pay for it. And I'm wondering, where is that coming from?
I have no idea. You know,
is that a true fact? Have you heard that, Dr. Mixon?
No, but I don't deal with insurance, remember?
Ah, that's right.
And so, you know, I have my own lab. I put my own lab together so I could do labs for my patients much cheaper.
That's right.
And so.
And for this purpose, if something needs to be done, you do it.
Yeah. And so, you know, my folks can get any lab work we can do in our lab, and that includes vitamin D. They can have as often as they want, and there is no extra charge. They pay their monthly fee to be a member of the clinic, and their unlimited labs. Anything I can do in my lab is included in their fee, and as often as they want it. So I do have
a real doctor should be doing. Unfortunately,
bing, bing, bing.
The rest
yes.
Don't.
Unfortunately, but you know I can't control what other people do. I am only in charge of my
life. I understand.
Life. So
okay.
There you go.
All right, sir. You take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Oh, such great questions and great conversation. I look back at my notes, and yeah, he was just at the beginning of COVID 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I had wanted to know. It was the first time he had gotten COVID or a caller just then. And so I'm glad that something worked and got those symptoms going away for him.
And, of course, I had COVID a year ago in April last year. But my COVID was 3 days of a runny nose. I had no other symptoms.
There you go.
So, you know.
Oh.
Some folks get sick. Some folks like me just get a little sniffle. And it's
done.
And he was in between.
There you go. Oh, and listen to what we have. Little Journey taking you out into our break.
and we will be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine. We're snapping our fingers. Happy today. The weather is beautiful. It's going to be a great day. Get out and move. Enjoy the sunshine. It's going to be a little cloudy and cooler tomorrow, and then, you know, spring is over for the weekend, at least for April. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. And Dr. Mixon, we had an off-air question from Chris in Mount Lake Terrace, who said that her husband was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's and just wanted to get some information about what is Parkinson's and maybe what they can expect going forward. Maybe some just
did they
some
give any
general
hint as to how old the patient is?
Did not. Because it's different for somebody earlier than later.
If you develop Parkinson's in your 30s, it's a whole different issue than if you develop it in your late 80s.
Okay.
So
let's assume perhaps that he's an older listener, perhaps?
And that's where most Parkinson's shows up, is 50 and up. Parkinson's is basically a disorder in which the substantia nigra, an area in the brain that the dopamine receptors are either damaged or ineffective. And so you don't get dopamine function in that part of the brain. The result is a flat facies. It becomes more and more difficult to smile and show facial expression. Walking becomes very hesitant. People have a difficulty getting started to walk. And then once they're moving, they have trouble stopping. So the start and stop is impaired. There's a characteristic tremor involving the thumb and index finger that's kind of a rotating, we call it a pill rolling tremor, because it looks like what the old style pharmacists used to do when they made pills by hand, by rolling it between their fingers, the thumb and index finger. So that's the motor functions of Parkinson's. There's a significant emotional intellectual component too. There is a Parkinson's related dementia that develops in severe cases. So Parkinson's can be something that is very mild, has very little physical and emotional impairment, but it can be completely debilitating to the point that people are essentially quasi frozen and immobile, and can result in severe emotional outbursts, emotional instability, anger, a form of dementia that can be quite distressing for the family. So, you know, there are medications that can help control it, but we don't have a cure at this point.
Okay.
So it's a degenerative neurologic condition. And whenever I hear someone's newly diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, I'm hoping that it's quite late in life, because the longer the disease has to cause the side effects and problems, the worse they tend to eventually get, obviously.
Wow.
So
I think the most publicized Parkinson's disease patient would be Michael J. Fox, who was diagnosed in his 30s, and we've watched him for decades as that has taken over his body.
And it does. It takes over, because he started quite young. You know, so the course, the debilitating course of someone in their 80s is very different from the course in their 30s, obviously. And some people, it progresses very slowly, and some people, it progresses very, very rapidly. And it's just one of those things you have to get in with a really good neurologist and get worked up and see where we are.
Okay.
That's nothing I can treat on the radio.
You can't treat it. So it's good to maybe get some information on that and learn about it and what is ahead.
And there are societies, there are online support groups and societies that are devoted to Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
So she might want to, you know, get on some of her social media outlets and find people that are in the same situation, because they often give good help and support.
That's good to know. Yes. So. Chris, I hope that is some good information. Feel free to call us anytime here on Leading Edge Medicine. All right. We have just a few minutes left of our show, probably our last call today. Lee from Mount Vernon. And Lee is probably at home because the roads are packed with that Skagit Valley Tulip Festival going on this weekend.
Right. You're not out tromping through a muddy field today,
That's right. Not today, Lee. Welcome.
Thanks. No, I'm actually heading into Mount Vernon, but I'm taking the side roads to avoid
good
all
job.
That.
Good job. Good job.
It's pretty crazy, I'm telling you.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is pretty nice. So pharmacologically speaking or nutritionally speaking, and whether that's picked up from like a nutritional store or from your key pharmacy, I think you said, or whatever the pharmacy is. For prostate health, I just had my urological exam at Swedish yesterday, and just to see if I had any more bladder stones, which I don't. Everything looks good. I just have a slightly enlarged prostate. Of course, I've got that high neck bar of the median lobe, which I may go ahead and have the doctor do the resume treatment. He's been doing them for 5 years now, so that sounds a little more encouraging from when I looked at it years ago. So that's question number one I take saw palmetto. That's pretty much about the only thing I really take.
Okay.
Magnesium, vitamin D, very nutritionally oriented have been. And then the other thing I heard you mentioned a few minutes ago about, you know, being a monthly member. So I'd like to know, I don't know if I've ever even heard what it costs to be a monthly member to your clinic.
Well, it's $395 a month for our standard program.
Oh, boy, that's less than a car payment.
Oh. And that, that includes...
I don't have a car payment.
Neither do I.
Neither do I.
Thank God.
But yeah, that includes...
Or a house payment anymore.
There you go.
Yeah, but that $395 includes unlimited doctor visits, unlimited laboratory, and supplements and prescriptions obviously have to be paid for out of pocket. Mm-hmm. But even there, our patients get a discount on the supplements. So
and time with the doctor.
Yeah, well,
that's huge.
They get
right.
Like I said, it's unlimited doctor visits, so you can see the doctor, you know,
okay,
3, 4, 5, 10 times a year.
Okay, great. So that question's answered, and then what do you recommend for, I don't know if it's actually, I've seen so many different things that talk about shrinking the prostate, so I don't know. It's just all over the map as far as what you can do to yourself, self-care, and then, you know, nutritional care. So
right.
Well, pharmacological care.
If you're looking for pharmacologically to shrink the prostate, then you're probably looking at one of the second generation alpha agonists, things like terazosin or doxazosin. Terazosin and doxazosin are both generic. They've been around since the 1950s. They are smooth muscle relaxers. They allow you to pee better by relaxing the smooth muscle. And they actually, they actually do shrink the prostate. But it's slow. You don't see any appreciable shrinkage for 15, 18 months.
Okay.
So
okay. Well, I've already been on 5 milligrams daily of tadalafil for probably getting close to 3 years now, and I take that daily. But I think I did, I don't know, I think somebody did try to, I'm not sure if it was tamulosin. Is that another one?
Tamulosin is different. Tamulosin it does not shrink the prostate. It's a smooth muscle relaxer.
Okay.
But
Well, I think I did try that early on and just a couple of times, and I didn't feel good from taking it. So
all right.
I stopped.
Yeah. Well, and the terazosin and doxazosin are not real popular because they can cause significant drops in blood pressure. And so people sometimes when they stand up, they get lightheaded and dizzy. It's a postural hypotension with them. So they're great for the prostate, but they're tough on the blood pressure.
Okay. Well, I don't know if we're going to have enough time here, but are you going to be on KVI after this?
Well, we can't mention the other program.
We can't mention it,
never
but
mind.
We can.
All right. I already know. Well,
but we can agree with you.
One other quick question. Okay, sure. One other quick question then. So I'm 6 feet, 160 pounds, lean muscle. I live really healthy and blah, 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 and all that other stuff. But when I do squat down, and I do squat down a lot or bend over just for the nature of, I don't know, what I do. And then when I stand back up again, I do feel kind of like lightheaded.
Yep.
So I'm just wondering if maybe I should look up a cardiologist and do a stress test or comes kind of a blood test and find out how, you know, if I'm getting clogged arteries or I don't know.
Well, it wouldn't hurt.
What is that symptomatic of?
We call that postural hypotension. Mm. What happens is you squat down, and then when you suddenly stand up, the blood tries to drain to your feet and out of your head. And your blood vessels have not constricted fast enough to keep the blood pressure high enough in your head. What's supposed to happen is your heart rate is supposed to speed up and your arteries are supposed to constrict. And that combination will keep the pressure in your head. But
Okay, that was my question. Is something that's progressive with aging?
It is common with aging, and it does get worse as you get older, and it's especially common in thin, fit people. Because overweight people overweight people tend to have high blood pressure. And so low blood pressure is not their issue. Their pressure is too high.
All right.
Oh, thank you, Lee, for your call.
All right, take care, sir.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, our last call for the day. We have just a few minutes here. Let's talk about longevity because Lee had some great questions there.
He did.
Sometimes people think, oh, I can't afford that. It's too much. You know what? Your health is so very important.
If you can afford a car, you can afford longevity.
Oh,
and it's just a matter of priorities. Mm-hmm. You know, if having a newer car is more important to you than your body, then you've made one decision. Live with it. If your body's more important than a new car, then you've made a different decision. I think you'll enjoy it. But, you know, I'm not your boss. I'm not your daddy. I don't force people to do anything. I offer them help.
Absolutely.
But if what you want to do is get stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier, you need longevity.
Absolutely, you do. And the first step is making that phone call. And don't be shy. Come on in for the two free tests. Find out about us. It is not high pressure. We just want to give you the information so you can make a good decision. Find out what your body is at risk for. Here is the number to call and get scheduled. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That number again is 866-86-YOUNG. You can actually call right now and someone will help you get scheduled or go online to lmclinic.com. Pick the day, the time, even the clinic closest to you that works with your schedule. Okay, we hope to see you here at Longevity Medical Clinic. Have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy that sunshine. We're back live next weekend.